All right. Thank you so much, VBS, for making this possible for us continuously. It is today, October the 25th, 2017. Another hour taken care of by Winfrey and out of Sedona. Myself, I'm Gijs Minderhout, located in Paradise, California. And another episode of If You Have Questions, We Have Answers. We had somebody else join in on the conference call. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Dharmananda.
Good evening, Dharmananda. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Pretty hot up there.
Hot, yes. It was hot. Today and yesterday.
It was hotter today. Oh.
Mm-hmm. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hi. This is Cecil with C67 from Sunshiny, Seattle.
All right, Cecil. Thank you for being here.
My pleasure.
Good to have you.
Thank you. I was just listening to you guys on the Sunday call relating the experience you had. That was pretty neat.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Positive greetings. It's me again. I couldn't get rid of the crackling.
All right. You're welcome back, May.
Thank you.
All right.
Hi, May.
Hi. Who's that?
Dharmananda.
Hi, Dharmananda.
Hello.
Hello from Seattle.
Hi, Cecil.
Hi.
Dharmananda, by chance, you need to meet May. I met her over the weekend, and interesting. We have somebody else join in over here, I believe. Yes, welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hey, this is Chris in Memphis.
Chris, welcome to the call.
Hi.
And I heard somebody else welcome.
Hi, Marissa calling from Menifee, California.
Hi, Marissa. Good evening.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Hi, it's Cleo in Connecticut.
Good evening, Cleo. Welcome to the call.
You hi.
And we are live on BBS Radio. Thank you also to all those that are joining in online, listening to this episode. If you have questions, we have answers. And welcome to the next caller. Thank you for being here. Please say name and location.
Hi, it's Vicky from Westlake Village, California.
Hello, Vicky. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right. And for those that want to email a question for tonight's hour, you can do that at questions@intelligent-infinity.com.
Hey, this is funny. Corey Feldman is playing in Memphis tonight. Corey Feldman and the Angels at the Hightown Cafe.
All right. I welcome all those, again, listening in on BBS. Most here on the phone line. This is, as usual, a simulcast. On the phone line, I will know the phone number for the Whole Planet Healing Call. If you want to call in, you can do that every day at 7 p.m. time. And it takes care of the Whole Planet Healing Call have an hour plus. Okay, the next here, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, hi, everybody.
Good evening, Don. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, is this question to intelligentinfinity.com or .net, or what did you say?
.com.
Okay, thanks, man.
Questions at intelligent-infinity.com.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you.
Those 7 o'clock calls, Hayes, is there a replay on those?
Believe so, that it's for one day until the next, you know, call, and then the replay takes one day.
Okay, just go back to the same call on the same PM.
And then a different pin. It's going to be a different phone number. I need to look for it. It's going to be one digit from the phone number will be different, and then leave it the same pin. There's another caller coming over here. Good evening to you. Welcome. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jane. Good evening. Welcome.
Good evening. Thank you.
All right.
It's going to be a blackout November the 4th through the 6th. national blackout.
Anymore.
You know that?
Let me help out over here. Okay, let me first walk on this floor. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Anna from France.
Hi, Anna. Welcome.
Thank you.
I need to call you.
Please do.
Yeah. For the whole planet healing call, I want to first say the playback number for the whole planet healing is 712770, and then the last 4 digits are 4009, and with the same participant access 250513. More people joined in on the phone line over here. Thank you so much for being here. In my location.
This would be Steve in West Palm Beach.
I did pick up Steve. Good evening, Steve. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
And who else? Please say your name and location.
Roger in Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening. Welcome.
Hello, Terry in Dallas.
Good evening to you. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
And more people have joined in. If you want to, please say your name and location.
This is Terry in Sedona.
Good evening, Terry. So glad you're here.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much.
Hi, Terry. This is Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Bonnie.
City.
All right.
Hi, Terry from Seattle.
Hi, more people have joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Lori from Portland.
Hi, Lori. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks.
You okay?
That's Chris.
What's that?
You are clearing your throat.
Oh, I'm sorry. You know, I got that COPD and all my stuff is, throat is all messed up. I'll try to be quiet or I'll mute myself.
All right. You're covered. All right. More people have joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say name and location.
Hello, Shirley from Ohio.
Good evening, Shirley. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, it's Wynn from Sedona.
Vin from Sedona, glad to hear your voice.
Do we have Terry here today?
Yes, I'm here.
Two of them.
Hey, everybody hear about the big lifestyle drill planned for November 4th to the 6th for the whole United States?
The what?
A lifestyle drill planned for November the 4th to the 6th for the whole United States.
The lights out?
Yeah.
Well, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Yeah.
You know what? There's so much. One of the things that I have observed is a lot of people take a lot of cheap shots saying things that are going to happen, okay? And when it doesn't happen, they just take another cheap shot, and everybody keeps forgiving them. But it's kind of controlled disinformation to keep people, like, for example, there's this whole, how many of you heard about the event? Have you heard about the event?
No.
The event is coming. In other words, it sounds like, it's not exactly saying what it is, but it seems like maybe it's ascension or maybe, you know, something like that. And they've been talking about it for a long time, and I don't get that it's real. I mean, maybe it is, but I just figure if something is coming, then I'll cope with it when it gets here. And I know things are coming, but even our sources, whenever we ask them specifics, they say we don't like to give specifics because anything can change. All right? So maybe the lights will go off. I don't know.
Well, it says the U.S. Department of Defense will conduct a communication interoperability training exercise November 4th.
Okay.
So
it will be a
national massive coronal mass ejection event.
Yeah.
Power grid.
When is it supposed to occur?
What?
When is it supposed to occur?
The 4th to the 6th.
Okay.
Is it close to what?
November 4th to the 6th. Three days? Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, that'll be pretty scary.
Yeah. I hope they warn
everybody. Well, that's the idea. If something doesn't happen, as long as you're scared worrying about it, they've done their damage. I mean, I don't know if you've been tracking David Wilcock, but I don't know if he does it deliberately. I don't think he does it deliberately. But if you tracked him from the time the book came out until now, he has made, and even before, you know, when I first discovered David, he was talking about the big event that was going to happen in the year 2000. And, you know, at that time, I kind of bought into it. And I said, okay, something's going to happen. The implication was there's going to be a mass ascension happening in 2000. And, in fact, his website was called Ascension 2000. Okay? And I mean, he's been announcing disclosure is coming. The negative elite are going to get arrested, and then disclosure is coming again, and the bird people, the blue avians, are going to save us, and the blue avians are in fact the Ra group. That's what he's saying, you know. And so, you know, he keeps people. You know, I'm partially responsible for this illusion that he does, because people think that because he was Edgar Cayce, he has an inside track to what's going on. And he doesn't. He does not have an inside track to what's going on. And in fact, I do believe he was channeling the Ra group at the time I wrote the book. And the channelings in the book were wise. There were some prophecies in them, but not specific, in general. And David didn't want to do that. He, you know, they told him, if you haven't read the book, it's very fascinating. It adds, you know, you're getting a big comprehension here. You get it on Amazon or returnofedgar.com. But they told David, I mean, it was in the book. David approved every word of the book. And in the book, it said, David, let our messages come through. We can stop disasters on your planet. Get your ego out of the way. Right? And from my perspective, he didn't do that. And he didn't let his messages keep coming through. But it's almost like he was a trickster, because he took the fact of having the credibility of having been Edgar Cayce, and then, you know, kind of acted like he knew everything. And if he was channeling, I don't know who he was picking up, but he didn't put his channelings out there. So I wouldn't trust it. I don't trust it. And it's like, you know, it's interesting that I'm writing the book. And when I was writing it, I remember, when Daphne was channeling, it's like it was almost as if they were prepared to put a big focus on David and using the Cayce connection to try to get these interdimensional frequencies downloaded into this realm. And David wouldn't take the job. And so, see, it would have been easy at that time, much easier. As the book was coming out, I could introduce David as Cayce, and it didn't look like his ego. He had the excuse to be front and center, bringing important messages in. But when the book got published, he ran the other direction. And he actually was competitive with me because I was channeling. It almost seems like they were making a backup plan to get their energy into this realm. And at one point they said that I broke through so many of my own obstacles by writing that book. Because I really wrote it because to be of service. I really wrote it because I recognized the truth in the sessions that were coming through David. And I could starting to see that he didn't want to do it, okay? He didn't want to do it. He didn't want to do it. And you see, with Cayce, the whole thing evolved very slowly. I mean, when he started doing his readings, nobody was paying any special attention, and it was just very small, and it just kept building and building. And really, it wasn't until he died that he got big time, started to get big time. But with Wilcock, we would have been coming out of the gate, how would you say it?
Running.
What's the word?
Running.
Running. Yeah, you know, hit the ground running, so to speak.
Yeah.
Because everybody would look at him and say, well, he was Cayce. And he would have had to have been really dedicated and pure to hold the energy with all that attention focused on him. And I don't think he trusted himself. And he certainly didn't trust me. So it was like a hit and a miss. I mean, it wasn't exactly a miss because the book did come out. The book really did impact a lot of people. And it set the stage for me doing what we're doing here. But so it did that much. But that would have been a very easy way to make a big impact on the planet. So In any case,
At first, I had to build a rapport. It took about 3 years for them and me to kind of like get to know each other and build a rapport, and for me to trust them and them to trust me. And they said they adopted me.
It took me 25 years to build a rapport with you, so they're faster than me.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, you know, everybody's building a rapport with you now. Everybody loves you. But as you guys can tell, Terry is a, how should we say it? She's like, she can be dispersed. She can be spaced out. And it's like, you know,
not grounded.
Until you get her, it's like, you would think, is she crazy? You know?
I know the feeling. Right?
You know the feeling? Well, I'm still not sure. I still wonder about you.
I learned the ground, you know, all that stuff, the physical 3D stuff I did, you know, helped me, you know, with that, you know, being spaced out. I learned to find that balance, you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Maybe she should go hug a tree. That'll ground her more.
Hey, that's a good thing to do. Put your feet in the sand, ocean, those are all really grounding stuff.
You know what? It's more complicated than that, okay? I think.
Yeah.
Although she can try it.
Just simple things.
She can try it. But, you know, Terry's doing really good right now. And, in fact, even getting her illness was like a huge thing in her. You see, in my opinion, she had it's not such a bad thing to have a body, okay? you know, this is going to be a good one. I think I'll stop the tape recorder, okay? Just a second. That way.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Thank you, guys. There we go.
This conference is being recorded.
This is October 25th, 2017. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, everybody everywhere. And we do have room for some questions tonight, if someone has one. And I was just going to make a point. We're having a discussion about Terry in front of her, and she's participating in the discussion. And, you know, I was talking about how, you know, we didn't run the tape recorder on this whole thing, but Terry can be really spaced out. And I've known Terry for 30 years. And it's like probably for a certain portion of that time, it was like, how can I say it? You know, I said, she's very lovable, but she's not here. And I just have to work around it.
Looking at the Christmas tree lights across the country.
she would make comments like that, and I'd say, I wonder if she's ready for the loony. I wonder if she's ready for the loony bit or something. And and that, you know, I kind of know now, I know now that this is true, this comment, is that a huge portion of Terry is not in this realm, okay? She is in a higher realm. And she didn't know how to bring the energy from the higher realms into this realm and into her body. And part of her could have come and gone and say, okay, I'm leaving. It's not worth it. Too much trouble being in a body. And she probably could still do that, okay?
Sometimes they feel that way.
Yeah. And, you know, one of the things that I think, if you guys have been tracking our information for quite some time, one of the things that's really amazing is the miracle of a body. It's a miracle that this was all put together over such a long period of time, and that all works. And, you know, regular people, when they look at a body and think of a miracle, they think it must have all just been designed by God, okay? And that's as good a understanding as any, except it's not exactly true, because everything is God, right? So whatever participated in the designing of a body is part of God, or part of all that is. But as we have been slowly unfolding, the universe and the life forms in the universe were created by many higher life forms, and not always with positive agendas, but sometimes to control the life forms, to have slaves, so they can have more fun in this realm, because this realm is labor intensive, whereas the higher realms, they're not labor intensive. They're just energy levels. Things are floaty. You think of something and you start creating it, okay? And that can semi-work in this level, too. I've had that experience of thinking things and having them manifest at different times in my life. Now, I don't mean thinking like I'm going to think of an apple in the bureau and suddenly an apple's going to be on the bureau. That's not what I mean. For me, it would be thinking of something, and suddenly I would meet somebody that would be exactly what I was thinking of or attracting, okay? And I've seen that happen at such a fast rate that it just blew my mind that it was possible, because I was still in the illusion that I was just a body. So it happened when I was hitchhiking. Why didn't it happen when I was hitchhiking? And it doesn't happen as much when I'm sitting in one place. It's because when I was hitchhiking, I let go. Now, this wouldn't work for everybody, okay? I had to have this potential. I'm not telling everybody to go out and hitchhike. I had to let go of all my belief patterns and all my constructs just to survive. And so in letting go of all those things, suddenly I was open to all kinds of synchronicities, and I wasn't blocking them. Every day was random. Every day was chaos, you know. And so the energies of the higher realms would coalesce to form the chaos into incredible meetings, into all kinds of stuff that by statistical probabilities were totally impossible to happen. And they kept happening day in, day out, day in, day out. And then when I stopped hitchhiking, I'd get involved in the grosser aspects of life and being in a body. But when you start to really grasp, not just hear the words, but integrate that you are a miracle in a body, and you are a spirit form working through that body, and you are an aspect of the one infinite creator, temporarily in this experience of a human condition. And then you say, what can I do through this body that contributes to other people, that contributes to this realm? And to be able to do it without getting trapped in the realm, okay? And that's, if you keep contemplating that, you realize how, you know, people think when they're going to do something, it's got to be big and grandiose, okay? It's kind of like, well, here I am on a conference call, I'm talking to people, I got all these followers, and it looks like it's big and grandiose, but it's, I don't see it as big and grandiose. Not only that, when I'm off this call, I have to be in where I am. And, you know, I see every moment as a recreation of the higher realms into this realm. Every moment. How am I creating this moment? And, you know, Terry's been with me. She's seen me do it. And it's not a technique. It's not a meditation. It's just I'm present. And I pick up, this is when I'm in a good space. You know, I can't always do this. I'm not always in a good space. But, you know, I go through being withdrawn. But my energy is getting higher and higher. I'm getting more confident in being able to do this. And it's like, you have to be bold. You have to get over being shy. You have to say what's in your mind before you think about it and risk putting your foot in your mouth. Hey, when we're on these calls, you hear me doing that. I say what's in my mind, and I don't think about it. And it was scary at first. I said, oh, my God, all these people are going to be evaluating me. I'm not going to even prepare what I'm going to say. I don't know it's going to come out right, because if it doesn't come out right, I suddenly look dumb to however many people are listening. Now I got to live with that as part of my reputation forever, evermore. And then, you know, here's Terry, and I know everybody loves Terry, and she's worthy of love, and she's such a wonderful being. When, you know, she will come on the call, not only do I have to worry, do I look okay, what am I going to do about Terry? She sounds like she just crawled out of a cloud. and she can't remember to unmute her phone. So, you know, one becomes self-conscious about the impression they make on other people. And I learned, I said, okay, you know, I can't get Terry to look professional. So we're just going to make a joke of unmuting her phone. And either she'll unmute it or she won't, but at least everybody will enjoy it and look at Terry fondly. And and I reminded me of Howard Stern's. And when I make this analogy, I am not comparing Terry to anything about Howard Stern. But Howard Stern had, like, he doesn't have him on anymore. So hang on a second. Hang on a second.
All callers are unmuted.
How many of you remember Stuttering John?
Yeah, of course.
You remember? Who's that?
It's Chris.
Chris?
Yeah, I've been playing, you know, I've been following Howard Stern for 25 years.
You remember Stuttering John?
Of course, yes. John Melendez, yeah.
Okay.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now remember, I'm not comparing Stuttering John to Terry, okay? No way. But I'm comparing the way that Howard Stern would work with somebody with what would ordinarily be something defective in front of the public, because he had this guy who would stutter all the time. Terry, do you know who Stuttering John is?
Yeah.
Terry, yeah. You know Stuttering John?
Yeah, I've heard of
him. So he had Stuttering John as kind of his, what would you call him? Adjunct, I'm going to say adjunct to a show. And he would send Stuttering John out to do interviews with people in the public. And he'd go to these big events, and it'd be these famous people, and Stuttering John would walk up, I'm here now, with a tape recorder running. And it was in some senses a little bit cruel, because he was making fun of this guy's disability. But on the other hand, the fellow liked it. He was probably getting more attention than he ever got in his life. So it was actually entertaining, you know? So it's kind of like you can take somebody's what would normally be a handicap, right? And use it. It's kind of like it's getting into the flow. It's like I learned how to get into the flow so that if anyone that's on the line is trying to throw me out of balance, I wouldn't go out of balance. I would just flow around it. And I didn't get mad at them. I just worked around them. I might have muted them, right? So, you know, it's kind of like I'm doing this publicly and you're watching me doing it. And you can learn something from it, because I couldn't do this when we first started. You know, I've learned it. And it's like being able to flow around situations and people, and also taking risks, allowing yourself to not worry. This is a hard one. You got to figure this out yourself. But being able to talk without worrying what people think. Some of you want to channel. You can't channel if you're worried what people think. You have to let the intelligence come through you and trust that it's going to be okay. And that's a learned experience, okay? It's not something you can do without some practice, because everyone has this compunction. I don't know if that's the right word. Compunction has this. I'll make it, you know, self-consciousness of wanting to look good in the public around other people. They want to look good, and you know, I'm not saying you should never not look good. Like, for example, if I have to go out for certain kinds of appointments, I might not wear my short pants. I might wear a nicer shirt, nicer pants, because I know there is such a thing as first impression. And you don't want to ruin it on your first impression. You want to get the first impression good, and then stick your foot in your mouth, and you might get across, okay? And here I am, Terry. Are you there, Terry?
Yeah. Yeah,
what do you think? Am I like that? Does that sound like me?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm a miracle in a body, and so are you. It's like you have to start acting like a miracle and do baby steps and practice it. And you can be more than you are. You can change, and some of you are already doing it. You can change the world around you, but not by trying and not by getting followers. You know, this is one of the other things. People look in this realm and they see everybody listening to me on these calls, and it looks to them like I have followers, and they think they want followers. And they can be with me. And there's not, I don't have followers. I really don't. I'm following you as much as you're following me. And, but I've learned how to get my ego out of the way and let the higher realms use my energy field so that they can project into this realm through me. And it's like Terry has learned to let them project into this realm through her voice. And so when we do that, it's never boring. The energy is always up. But I'm not keeping it up. I'm not taking responsibility. I'm just taking the jumping in and opening my mouth. And, you know, I'm talking about normal 3D things. And while I'm doing it, everyone's attention is distracted. And I know they're working in the background. And they make a connection. And before you know it, we have a group energy. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask some questions. I'm talking so, the reason I'm talking so much is because We didn't get a lot of questions in, but now we're getting a bunch of questions, okay? And I see one just came from Jeannie Judd and Don Herman and Edna. And Jeannie, we enjoyed your photo of yourself and Hayes and Kimberly, okay? Okay. I think we'll ask your question first, okay? And that is a good question. And so let me make sure Terry's unmuted. Terry, are you unmuted?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything you want to say from the 3D side?
No.
No?
No. I'm half over with them already.
Okay, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light. Surround and protect Terry and myself. Any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light, transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy, radiating from the center of the universe, through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy field of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. We invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a group energy connection while maintaining protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
We teach you in the roadside of the one infinite creator. We take a moment and we orient to each and every person on the line that wishes to be touched or be in touch. And we send or we give, impart our roadside to each and every one of you. Not only those that are on the line, but those that will listen to a replay later. If we ever see anything that does not make total sense to you, then disregard it as it does not apply to you at this time. We do not come through the telephone line. We come directly to you. It is only the voice that comes through the telephone line and the computer. Do you have questions?
Yeah, I'm going to read Jeannie Judd's question, and I don't see where she lives here, but it's really a general question, so we don't need that. In fact, maybe I'll take a little bit of answering it. Oh, Heise knows where she lives, right, Heise?
Citrus Heights, near Sacramento.
Citrus Heights, okay. So the other night on Whole Planet Healing, I read from the session where sources explained how star seeds get lost in this realm, become subject to amnesia, get stuck in geometries. Can you explain how and why these geometries become stuck, frozen, hard to work through? And particularly, are you able to give us any suggestions on how we can get these geometries unstuck and how we ourselves can get unstuck? Is there a technique which, if practiced, will free us up and bring us back into greater awareness? Or is there a particular way of living in a particular mindset or approach that will cause geometries and the energy to free up? And that's Jeannie Judd. Let me just make a couple comments on that, and that is, remember, when you come in from a higher realm, where you could say the geometries were not as stuck, where things were free-flowing, and then the realms get denser and denser and denser as you come down in the matrix. And some people have said, we are in the densest of realms. So when a soul comes, so what happens is, in this realm, there is a mirroring takes place, that people have agreed upon reality systems that is another way of looking at stuck geometries. We're at the bottom of the matrix, and there are fixed ways of being. It would be as if you walked into a room and everybody had a reality system there, and you need to get to know those people, you'd have to go into their reality system. And maybe at first you're thinking you're acting, and then you're really there. So somehow you got to observe the reality systems in this realm that are not you. You have to remember, just because everybody agrees on them doesn't mean they're true or they're the highest. They're just an agreement amongst a bunch of beings that are doing a group reflection, a group mirroring in 3D. And you're here with the potential to have a higher reality system, but you have no one to bounce it off of. And you don't, and there's a more than reasonable chance that if you're one of those kind of people, instead of thinking you have a higher reality, you'll draw the conclusion you're crazy because you're not fitting into everybody else's reality system. So let me turn it over to our sources and let them answer it. Thank you.
Thank you. One of the things is, so when you have a stuck geometry, you do not usually know it's stuck. And the reason it's stuck is because you have opposing belief systems. For instance, perhaps your parents have been telling you that you need to get out there and circulate and be social, and maybe just came off a lifetime where you were in meditation for a long time and really didn't believe in that. Animals can help you unstick things because they, at a lower level, can help free up your attention and can provide you unconditional love. But if you do not know that you have some kind of a stuckness, it is hard to correct it. And if you find out about it, then it's liable to correct on its own. Another thing is to call in grace at the higher levels, because grace can come in, see where the stuck geometries are, and can provide her DW40 to help unstick them, even though you aren't sure what they are. This can be manifested by little speckles of gold as the locked geometries unlock. Self-realization is one of the first steps in releasing those geometries and knowing what they are, because once you know what they are, then you can quit holding them in place and be open to farther growth. Does that help? Is Wynn there?
I'm here. Sorry. Just one quick comment. It helps hanging around people in our group, or getting into a team shift group. It can help. I'm not saying it will. Because if you hang around with people that understand the principles of being stuck in this realm, you can at least talk about it. And some people in our group are far more unstuck than others. And if you're around unstuck people, it starts to rub off on you. Okay, next question is from May, who is having to move, and she's having a huge amount of trouble getting it together to pack her boxes, a huge amount of resistance. She wants to know why she has this resistance and how she can get over it.
Thank you. Just about everyone has resistance because they're used to the area where they are living. They know where everything is, and to pull it all up and pack it, that is a tremendous change. And anytime anybody goes through a horrendous change, it can be very difficult for them. It's not unusual to experience a great discomfort in moving, and however, in the long run, there is benefit to moving the items around, seeing what it is that you don't use, and to be able to go through your things and rearrange them in an organized fashion so you can utilize them better in the new space. There is a huge impetus towards lack of change and the familiarity and the comfort of your own home, and pulling it up takes a great amount of willpower to move through that barrier towards change.
Thank you. You know, there's something to be said here, we're just putting one foot in front of the other. It's like on things that you have a lot of resistance on, this is one area where you can use willpower and say, okay, there's a box. I'm going to put things in that box. I'm going to write on it done. And you just start out slowly. This is my experience. And then before you know it, you have momentum. Okay, next question here. This is from Rich Buckley. Do most other deceased Anunnakis merge in between life states into the Ra group consciousness? You know, Rich, I don't know who most other is. Are you thinking who are other deceased? You know, why did you put most other there rather than say, do deceased Anunnaki merge in between life states? But as I get it, there's one comment, and that is, keep in mind it's a constant free will thing. Probably to merge into the Ra consciousness, I don't know if you merge into it. It's a group energy, but it's, as I get it, it's a lot of individuals constantly recreating themselves, sometimes in subgroups, sometimes as individuals, and maybe very occasionally, but I don't know, I never asked this huge group to have something where a lot of energy is necessary to accomplish it, okay? Do the Anunnaki connect with the Ra group? If you don't mind, Lorna, just ask, is there an affinity between Anunnaki and Ra? Thank you.
Not necessarily. That depends on the individual's orientation. They can be more associated with the Elohim group, or they might not be associated with any of those groups. And they might go back to some reptilian collective, or they might be lost between lives. It depends entirely upon the individual.
Okay, so there's reptilian even service to self collectives, yes?
Yes. Although they don't hang together very well, because since they're service to self, the group thing tends to fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Am I correct in the way I described the Ra group as it is constantly reforming itself?
Yes.
In terms of responding to what's going on the planet, like, as I get it, like, there's a constant looking for people that they can have as allies, maybe the Elohim are the same way, wanting to find circumstances where they can bring themselves into this realm, bring the wisdom or the energy into this realm without it getting corrupted, okay? Is that true?
It is a difficult job to bring the energy into the third density realm. There are very few and far between masters that can pick up on this, as most people are not aware of these frequencies. So even when there is one that can bring through the information or the frequencies, it is a very big thing.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay. Interesting. We have a few questions. We'll fit in one more quick question here, okay? And those of you that put in questions, try to get them in before 6 So when I start the call, I don't think I have to talk for a while. I know how many questions we got. Okay? Let's see. Valerie, it appears that more and more spirits are coming to and through me to get a message to someone. It's just the beginning of me understanding and figuring out how channeling works. Plus, the telepathy is on fire. Daily, sometimes two or three times, I feel or wish something would happen, and it does within minutes most of the time. My question is, why is this happening? It's nice and very interesting, but very tricky, like the Morse code thing I had to figure out with the flickering lights in my van. Is there a source coming to me to teach me to do this channeling? I just don't know how this works. Please explain. That's Valerie in Livermore.
As you become more open, you are finding your way. And as you find your way, then the spirits can have more trust in you that you will bring it through accurately. So it builds upon itself, and you're able to bring through greater things.
Thank you. When you know, Carla Ruckert used to say that she would channel, or she would challenge the channels three times, like, are you coming in the name of Jesus? Are you coming in the name of Christ? If somebody doesn't feel like they want to say Jesus, they could say, are you service to others? Can you confirm your service to others? Are you operating in the highest good of all concerned? So the idea being, theoretically, that a negative source would not pass the challenge and go away. Would that be a good thing for Valerie to do?
It depends. If she feels like the source may not be reliable, or if she has some reason or trouble tuning in to the source, she can run that by them, and if they are negative, they should go away.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. And any closing comments? And before we go over to Whole Planet Healing.
Yes. You mentioned that Edna had a question. Did she have a question?
Yeah, but I don't think we have time for it tonight. It's 6:58. BBS is going to be on at 7. They take it over.
Okay. We have a comment to address to Edna. And anyone else that, like, C-Servant in Seattle, and anyone else that is at a low elevation near the West Coast, there is not danger of a big, huge tsunami right at this instant, but it is building, the energy is building. And if you are at a low elevation near the ocean, even in California or Oregon or Washington or Vancouver, it would be good to see what your elevation is and just take stock of it and see if there is some other place that you could drive to. If there is a large earthquake off the coast in the Juan de Fuca Strait, if there's some place you hear of the earthquake, you can drive to that higher elevation. It's just a like a first step in preparedness. But there is earthquake energy building in the Juan de Fuca Strait off the coast.
Thank you so much for the warning. And on this note, we'll unmute everyone.
All callers are muted. All callers are unmuted.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Wayne Terry.
Thank you from Cecil in Seattle.
Thank you.
Good information.
Thank you, Wayne. Yes.